You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Hey, and welcome to the After Party, episode 3 of Westworld. I'm so glad everybody else seems to be on the same page.
Yeah, no, I was like, after we recorded the first two, I was like, now I know where me and Chris stand, but I was wondering, I was like, okay, well, now is everybody just going to come out of the woodwork going like, oh God, it's another loss, it's another, you know, like shit that I'm not going to be able to figure out until the very end, and then I'm going to be dissatisfied. But it seems like people are really getting behind this.
Yeah, are totally like, I'm in.
Yeah, and there's a little bit, I know like there's the glassy eye contingent that are just like, this is going to be the next Game of Thrones, and then there's you know, there's people who are being a little bit more tentative about it because of the reasons that I illustrated, that they're once bitten twice shy. But it seems like I've been listening to the Cast of Thrones people put together a podcast for the first two episodes. And I've been listening to them. They're a lot more nitpicky than I am, but I think they have some good points. But it seems like I'm kind of firmly in their territory, which is where, wow, I'm really enjoying this. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You've given me no reason not to trust you lately, so HBO. And this seems like you put a lot of money and time and got some really good actors for this. And so far, you're delivering. And
this third episode, I mean...
The Stray.
Yeah. I don't think... you know, this is very much what I kind of expect from a third episode in a series like this, which is like, all right, we're gonna dial down a little and you know, do a little legwork. You know, we've given you a lot to chew on, so there aren't any like absolutely major revelations in it, but there's still plenty to chew on.
Yeah, it's little bits of new data. It's clarifying some previous mysteries, just a tiny bit. I mean, the title refers to, you know, one of the problems they're having, that these things are not necessarily following their programming. They literally have a stray who's wandered off course, which gives us one of the first real storylines for Elsie Hughes, who's like a very competent programmer at the Institute, giving her something to actually do instead of just like hanging around.
And I'm so glad, because I love this actor. She was one of the main stars of Raising Hope, and she's a great comedic actress. It's, you know, obviously she's got more dramatic chops going on here, but I've been intrigued by the character since we first saw her, like, you know, laying one on the prostitute bot in the first episode. Yes. And so I'm like, all right, what's her story? And so far she's been mostly a foil to Jeffrey Wright's character.
Yeah. Shannon Woodward is the actress's name, by the way. But here she's kind of teamed up in this episode with Luke Hemsworth, who's kind of the head of security, who has a fun moment where she's like, why are you wearing a gun? It's like, look, the only thing holding these things back from hacking us to pieces is a single line of code.
Yeah, which is one of the better lines of the show so far.
So it's like them going out into the actual Westworld, trying to find this guy, and finding... like, that whole sequence...
which is interesting, and this is kind of some of the technical nitpicky stuff that I've heard is people going like, well, you know, what's their level of control over these things? Can they, you know, can't they shut it down from, like, the huge control room, or do they have to go out and, you know... It's like, that is something that needs a little bit more clarity, I think.
And you would think there would be a master shutdown.
Yeah, you're like, I mean, if you'll pardon the terminology, you guys need a kill switch.
Yeah, really
real bad.
I mean, especially after this, which you can only imagine where, like, you know, this guy comes
Although, I think that's what happened in the first Westworld, is somebody hit the kill switch, and then they're like, no, that's not what that means.
Mislabeled, bad labeling.
We really should have called that failsafe.
You know, they make the guy sleep with a gory sequence with Luke Hemsworth trying to cut off his head. You know, it's like, that's all we need is the head. It's like, once again, maybe not the best.
You know, I'm glad we've gotten back to the political climb that we can show beheadings again.
Yes, indeed. But then, you know, that great sequence where he's holding a rock above his head to crush Elsie, and then just smashes his own head in. You're like, okay. At this point, this is kind of the turning point where they're going to go, guys, something is seriously wrong. We need to, like, deal with this in a more serious way.
Yeah, maybe this is not as taken care of as we've been led to believe.
And Dr. Bernard Lowe, Jeffrey Wright's character, is, you know, as we've seen, is almost has a weird sort of relationship with Dolores.
I think,
Evan Rachel Wood's robot.
And you earlier were positing the idea that, well, you know, is he spying somehow? Is he, you know, and it seems like what he's done, and Ford talks about his old partner, which is one of our big reveals for this.
Yeah.
Is who the fuck is Arnold?
Yeah.
And Arnold was apparently the guy who was his main partner in going into this in the beginning. But he was of the opinion of, like, you can, not only can you make artificial intelligence, you can raise it to artificial consciousness. You can actually bring it into, self-awareness. And if you've ever read, any William Gibson, this is the part of the Turing test where they would, the Turing agents would come and blow your computer up because fuck that shit.
Yeah. And, you know, and even going so far as saying, yeah, he might have written some code in those things. That's probably all.
Yeah, that's probably it.
You know, don't worry, the new update will take care of that. You're like, I'm not sure I would trust that after probably what's been like at least 50, 60 years this thing has been up, and they're only now figuring out that maybe Arnold put some shit in there that shouldn't
and
be
And we're
there.
Still wondering, like, okay, apparently 30 years ago something hairy happened. What was it?
Presumably the first movie.
Presumably the first movie, which means maybe you should, like, you know, start from the base up and rewrite everything. But they do bring out that Jeffrey Wright's character he's lost a child with his wife, who's, yay, Gina Torres.
Always nice to see.
Hopefully she's more than just a talking head in this.
Honestly, it would be one of those things where if she didn't show up in a genre program at some point,
exactly.
It would be unlikely.
Yeah, we're making a hardcore indie sci-fi, where's Gina Torres? There's kind of, with the opening sequence of this especially, and then later on, there's kind of a reveal that one of the reasons he's been talking to Evan Rachel Wood's character is that he's kind of exploring this idea of how conscious these things are, and there's kind of this allusion to, like, is he trying to make his dead son again? You know, what's going on with that? So that's something to think about. Another, one of the other little, like, what's all that about things from this episode is the Stray himself, one of the personality things they gave him, which apparently draws, you know, makes the characters coalesce, their personalities kind of coalesce. They give them some kind of hobby or thing that they can concentrate on, and his was wood carving. And so he's got several wood carving pieces in his tent, but he's decorated them all with a picture of the constellation Orion.
Yeah, which is like, why would he even know about that at all?
And once again, we're just like, what do the stars look like here? And yet again, they kind of drop when Gina Torres is first talking to Jeffrey Wright. She's like, well, you know how hard it is to get a line to people, and it's just like, are they in space? Come on, just come on and say it.
I wonder if that symbol ties in some way to this sort of elaborate mystery that Ed Harris's Man in Black
exactly,
because
he's got
together.
The kind of that tortoiseshell maze thing going.
Yeah.
And so yeah,
and also makes me wonder: is it possible Ed Harris is in fact the old partner?
That's it's like, and they, you know, when they kind of allude to him in the second episode, he's like, oh, that guy's been coming here for 30 years.
Yeah.
And so, but according to Ford, he's dead.
Yeah, but you
he
know
died
that
in this very
movies.
Well. Yeah, and that's the thing. He's like, oh, he's dead. Well, how did he die? Well, he died in a mysterious accident. He probably, you know, he all but comes out and says, like, he probably committed suicide, because there's no fucking way he would have died in that, because he's a very careful person.
Alternately, maybe this Man in Black is both of the things we theorized. Maybe he is a robot
that, yeah,
Albert gave Arnold gave consciousness to and put his own consciousness inside of it.
Exactly, yeah. Which is, I would not disagree with that theory at all.
As well, James Marsden gets a lot to do in this episode, Teddy Flood, in a really cool sequence where
gets more to do than just get shot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they finally,
but he still dies gruesomely.
They finally give him a mysterious backstory, and then zombies. I was like, wow, this is going to be like Red Dead Redemption zombie nightmare all of a sudden. I was like, you're seriously putting zombie like Civil War guys in here that I'm even more in than I was before.
Yeah. No, those new set of baddies. It's like, oh, wow, Reavers. All right.
But everybody is glitching at this point. You know,
yes.
Like, you know, Thandi Newton keeps having little flashbacks. Obviously, Evan Rachel Wood is, you know, was programmed not to be able to even shoot a gun, and then is able to get past that programming on her own by just flashing.
There's a little
back.
Bit of new. And then we come to, you know, our little denouement and setup for the next episode, which is she wanders into camp with really the only two guests that we've been given as characters.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else is kind of, although I love the the little chick bounty hunter.
Yeah.
The beginning was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, William, played by Jimmy Simpson, and Logan Ben Barnes, who are given a little bit more to do this one, but this one is more about, like, they establish, okay, William's gonna is marrying Logan's sister.
His sister. Which is ironic, because he's like, hey, while we're here, you should drink and fuck a lot. And it's like, dude, I'm literally marrying your fucking sister.
And he establishes, look, I'm finally tells Logan, look, I'm just not interested in that. Yeah. I'm gonna follow this mission thing. Like, this
I'm playing Skyrim. I'm gonna go fight a fucking dragon. Fuck you.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, that's what my $40,000 a day is for. I don't know about you.
Oh my god, is that the price per day?
That they say that $40,000 a day, which you know, in future,
which
money,
is really you know, and that's another thing that kind of comes out solidly in this is that Evan Rachel Wood's character is she is specifically there for, oh, do you want to rape a good girl? Well, here's what you do for that. And that is just like kind of for me the most creepy revelation about this whole fucking thing. It's just like, oh, so you've got automated AI rape camps. Great.
Yeah. Like, you know,
that only really, really rich people can use.
Well, we actually get to see several humans playing in this game.
Yeah.
One of which is like, I want to be a bad guy. I'm going to go rape that farm girl. And and the other one, as you said, the little bounty hunter girl who's going with James Marsden's character, who's like, you know, all the other guys like, I'm out over here. And you're like, you guys know that you can't die, so I'm not sure why you're so nervous.
And they do bring that up. This is also the very first time that you see a human being getting shot, because Jamie's character
makes you wonder.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's like getting hit by a paintball gun.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, which is good, because that was, you know, there are two things as a video game dude that is, you know, as much as I am one, that is kind of making me wonder, which is A, what are the stakes in this game? If you can't, you know, do you get killed? If you get pegged with enough paintballs, do you have to start over again?
Right.
And then they have like this, like the whole sequence with James Marsden in this and the new big bads is just like, it's like you're a fourth or fifth level and you wander into a 20th level area and you're like, oh god,
I definitely don't belong here.
I don't belong here at all.
Yeah, book an ass. You can take the damage you get from the from your back end before you can make enough distance.
Like, yeah. I just wanted to follow you guys for loot. So there's that, and there's also which has been brought up on the Westworld podcast is how do they reboot? How do they reset every day? Which is interesting, because it's quite obvious that when Evan Rachel Wood should be sleeping, she's down there talking to Jeffrey Wright, and then she goes back home and wakes up. But how everybody else is waking up is kind of like, okay, well that's weird. You know, how do you keep the storylines all going the way they should for any set number of guests?
Yeah, especially if, like, is there a different reset if they're currently involved in a storyline with guests that are in there?
Yeah.
Than there is where, oh, I just start the day over again.
Because obviously there are some things that have to run concurrently. So then you've got the hub, which is, you know, where all the, you know, where the whorehouse is and the sheriff's office and all of that.
Yeah, but as they say, the farther away you get from town, the more dangerous and crazy the missions get. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, once again, zombies.
Yeah.
Assuming they were zombies, they look like zombies to me.
Well, he was saying, like, he kind of gave a little lore insofar as he was like, yeah, these are guys that have totally bought into Wyatt's bag, and they think they're dead and in hell, and so, you know, it's just like, even if they get shot, they keep coming at you. So zombie enough.
Yeah.
Zombie enough for government work.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if they're, like, he created this new, Anthony Hopkins created this new storyline, like, sure, why not zombies?
Yeah, exactly.
One last thing before we finish up this one. That was actually pretty good CG on young Anthony Hopkins there.
Oh, yeah, no, they did a great job. Hey, man, you know, it's HBO. They have Game of Thrones money to throw at.
Yes, they do. But yeah, overall, very satisfying episode, but a typical third episode in that. They're slowing the pace down just a little bit, and they're like, okay, now we're going to fill in some of the details, but no major revelations.
I was satisfied. If we had gotten another, like, you know, and this was a long episode, too. This was, you know, like, the whole hour, you know, and if I'd spent another hour of, like, you know, here's 50 fucking things to think about. I'm like, all right, I'm getting a little over it.
Yeah.
But this was, just the right amount. They're pacing it well.
Yep. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Tune in next week, where we will, timing-wise, actually have the episode up right after the episode for that one. So, until then, man, I just can't wait. Can't wait for the next one.
I can't either.